God bless you, saints.
Amen.
Love the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Not a singer, but I love the Lord.
Amen.
Love the Lord. Amen, saints. I can feel the hand of Satan as the tempter press me sore. Oh, he has been before the Father askingly to tempt me more. Oh, I can hear the Father saying, do not touch his life. Though he'll struggle, he'll not falter, but rise above, amen, all sin and strife. Oh, though God slay me, yet I'll trust him. I shall then come forth as gold, for I know that he still liveth, for I feel him in my soul. Now when I have looked all around me, in his face I cannot see, for I know that through the lattice, oh, he beholdeth even me. Though I'll struggle, I'll not falter, and by his grace, I'll make it through. And for his grace is all sufficient. Oh, and I know Job's God is real. Oh, now though God slay me, yet I'll trust him. I shall then come forth as gold, for I know that he still liveth, for I feel him. Let's sing that chorus one more time. Oh, now though God slay me, yet I'll trust him. I shall then come forth as gold, for I know that he still liveth, for I feel him in my soul.
Glory. Amen. Fill them in our soul. Thank the Lord Jesus. Amen. If anyone else has a special, there's still time. Amen. Amen. All right, sister, we'll sing a song, then you come right up after this. Amen. Fill my way every day with love. Is that your desire? Amen. The world is dying for that love, and we certainly need it. Praise the Lord.
Let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to the land above, giving cheer everywhere to the sad and lone. Fill my way every day with love. Oh, fill my way every day with love. Song and a smile, fill my way every day with love. Keep me close to the side of my Savior and God. Let me never in darkness rove. Keep my path free from wrath and my soul satisfied. Fill my way every day. Love, oh, fill my way. dove. Let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Amen. Soon the race will be o'er, and I'll travel no more, but abide in my home above. Let me sing, blessed King, all the way to the shore. Fill my way every day with love. Oh, fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Glory.
Amen.
God bless you. Camp was great for the kids, and I enjoyed being there. I attended the kids' tabernacle because they have two for the under 13 and for the older ones, and actually they have for the youth too. And Brother Trevor did the youth, and the other brothers did the big one, and I took the kids to the kids' tabernacle, and it was interesting there because they like demonstration, you know, preaching with demonstration, and it was wonderful. The one that stood out for me was Brother John Sanger. I may say their name wrong. He's from Pennsylvania. So he had planned all these sermons for the kids, and he took the morning services. And so he taught them Bible scriptures. Sarah can remember all of them. And one of the services, he brought a plow. You know, we're supposed, you know, if Sarah could say the Bible verse, I forgot. You know, no one is, the one who looks back when plowing is not fit for the kingdom. Oh, yeah. So he brought that, and so one, okay, that was one. The one that stood out for me was he taught them the devil being a scammer. Oh, yeah. How the devil is a scam, because the brother actually was scammed. His identity was stolen. But the singer, yeah, he's a pastor. And so through all that, he came up with that sermon. And he had a real person that was part of the sermon and a fake scarecrow. So he had real, fake, different things. And when it came to the fake owl, you know, the devil being the fake owl, he didn't have a real bird. And he didn't know how to catch a bird. How do you catch a bird and bring it? So keep that aside. Now, there's this couple from Guyana who've been coming to that camp since they started, I believe, 40-something years. Wow. Just coming to clean the bathrooms, clean, you know, whatever, cleaning, pick up trash. Just a black couple from Guyana. They're old now. And this year they called Brother, the one who organizes, Brother Doug, and told Brother Doug, it looks like we won't be able to come this year. Why won't you come? The lady who keeps our parrot is not able to keep the parrot this year. So, well, Brother Doug says, so they're in New York, so Brother Doug asks them, is the parrot a Christian? Because the camp is for Christians. He says, well, sister, the wife preaches to Ruth, her name is Ruth, the parrot, she preaches to it. I guess it's a Christian. So Brother Doug says, well, we've never had a bird, just bring it in a cage. What do? We need you. So they come, and the guy who was driving them had to call the state to confirm that they can drive a bird through state lines, which is a big thing, but they finally made it. So now time to preach for Brother Doug. Then he hears there's a parrot. You know, he hears there's a parrot, and he didn't have that. So I'm like, wow, look how God organized things. And that really stood out for me. I thought I better share.
Amen. Glory. My, my, my. The Lord cares about all the details. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. What a wonderful testimony. Amen. Amen. That just gives me a little joy. Let's sing this joy that I have. Amen. The world can't take it away. It didn't give it to you, so it can't take it away. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Oh,
this joy that I have. The world didn't give it to me. Oh, this joy that I have. The world didn't give it to me. Singing, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Yes, my. This peace that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, this peace that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Yes, Lord, this peace that I have, oh, the world didn't give it to me. Singing, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Yes, glory, my in this word that I have. Let's stand. The world didn't give it to me. Oh, this word that I have. The world didn't give it to me. Oh, this word that I have. Oh, the world didn't give it to me. Singing, the world didn't give it, and world can't take it away. Glory. Thank you, Lord. My end, this joy that I have. Amen. You still got your joy? Amen. Well, worship him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This joy that I have. Amen. It's something that lasts. Thank you, Lord. Oh, this joy that I have. Oh, the world didn't give it to me. Singing, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. The world's going to try to take it now. It's going to try to take it. Amen. The devil, he's a good adversary, as the sister said. He's a good adversary. So he's going to fight every bit of it. Amen. But we come now to worship the Lord, to ask him to fill our cups up. If you had things emptied out, then it's the time that God can fill it. Yeah. So let's sing this song as we get ready for the word.
Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more.
Yes, Lord, here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole. Amen. With all your heart. Yes. Oh, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul.
So fill my cup, Lord.
Amen, Lord Jesus, fill us up.
I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirst in my soul.
Fill my cup, fill it up.
that what you come today?
Amen.
Empty yourself out of the world.
Yes.
And just let Lord, let him fill you up.
Amen.
We had some good singing. And we sure, boy, last night was good. Y'all missed it. Brother Mike, he's just full of wisdom. Just a wonderful brother and knows how to bring the word of God. And he really opened up last night and spoke to us. The Lord spoke through him to us. So we're going to have Brother Chris Long. Good to see Sister Joanna and all the different ones that are here. I think of everybody. Sister Pam's back there. Good to see all of you. And we appreciate you. Thanks for coming. And we're just going to, I told Brother Chris, I said, don't look at the clock because we got time. And we're going to have food afterwards and fellowship. So, you know, we don't have anywhere to go special. This right here ought to be the most special part of your day.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm sorry. It ought to be. This ought to be the most special part of your day. If you got something else planned, that's your fault. Maybe you'll have something planned one day when Jesus comes. And it won't be his fault. Well, get quiet. But we pray that you have come to expect something. Brother Chris Long, y'all know he brings some meat now. He ain't a salad preacher. He's a meat preacher. So we're going to hear from him today. And then after we get finished, the food truck will be outside. And we'll coordinate with all that. You'll go out there and place your order. Hamburgers, hot dogs, chicken sandwiches, french fries, and drinks. They'll be watered in here. And we'll have a dessert down here, which will be cake. And then we will just continue on through and fellowship the rest of the day on into the evening. Brother Chris said, can I preach as long as I want to? I said, yeah, just turn the lights off when you're done. And that's late. That's about 9 o'clock tonight. So, But we come to hear the word of the Lord first. Yeah. Then we'll eat some natural food. It looks like all of us have not missed many of those. So I think we've missed some spiritual food, though. We all need more filling up. We all need spiritual food. And I believe that the Lord's going to bring it to you. You'll get what you expect.
Amen.
Because I know Brother Chris is going to bring the word of God for us. And I have total confidence in that. And known him for quite a while. Just a solid guy and just preach the word of the Lord like I'm used to. And we appreciate him. Appreciate him coming all the way from Arizona out here and being with us. And he'll be with us tomorrow at one service, regular service, those Sunday morning. And then after the Sunday service, we'll have a baptismal service. And we're going to, Sister Barbara's grandson, Nate, or Nathaniel, is going to be baptized tomorrow after the service. Then we won't have a second service. This will be our service for today. So just keep that in prayer. Get all the water ready and everything, man. If anybody else wants to be baptized, the water will be warm. Everything will be ready to go tomorrow after the first service. So just keep those things in your prayer. Pray for these that have been baptized. We baptized a lot in the past year and a half. Just pray for them. And I appreciate all y'all that came back from camp. Had a good time? Okay. Had a good time. Maybe get some testimony from them later on, but not today. But thank you all for coming back and being safe and just getting a wonderful word of the Lord up there. Camp is always good, so you can get together and around the word of the Lord. So also remember one more thing. If you haven't signed up to go to Tennessee to Brother Andre Head's, then sign up. We've got like close to 40 signed up now, but please sign up. We've got to get something done about rooms. So if you're going, please sign up and try to do it today and tomorrow. And if you're going to go. So we always have a good time. Brother Andre is expecting a good time. He's expecting us all to come, and they did a good job last year with us all coming up there. So we're going to be there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, just like we did last year. So just keep that in prayer. And if you're going, put your name on the board downstairs on the refrigerator. So let's sing Open the Eyes of My Heart as our brother comes and speaks for us. Brother Chris Long from Flagstaff, Arizona.
Open the eyes we appreciate him. Of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.
Is that your desire? Open my eyes, Lord.
Some strong.
instruction as well.
Yeah.
I want to see you.
Yes, that's right.
To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Oh, Lord, pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy.
Just shining in the light of your glory. Oh, Lord, pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy. Oh, yeah. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, musicians. Amen. Appreciate y'all. Don't need to introduce myself. I think I'd just like to get right into the Word if I could. But I would like to say that I, of course, you know, it may seem late to you, but our heartfelt condolences, of course, to the family and the church here for the graduation of Brother Samuel. Amen. And he's on the other side. Perhaps God will let him look down today and see the fruits of his efforts here at the tabernacle. And I want you to know something, that now he is pulling for us. He was pushing on you while he was here, but now he's pulling for us. Because they without us cannot be made perfect. And so we're in a battle. We're in a fight. And Brother Mike said that he was, I love Brother Mike. Oh, I tell you what. Love Brother Mike. He's a man of, to me, a man of wisdom. And the way God deals with him through the Word and his thoughts are wonderful to me. They really do help me. I get lots of notes. Maybe they're not directly from there, but... Just wonderful. And he said that he was kind of scattering it out. And, of course, I immediately thought of the Waffle House. I didn't say anything, but immediately I thought of the waffle. He said salad, and I said, no, scattered, smothered, covered, whatever that phrase is. He had it all going on. I really enjoyed it. So then he mentioned, and Brother Wade said something about meat. Well, I told my wife earlier today, I said, I'm going to tell the folks that I'm going to be bringing them dessert. But we're not bypassing the main course, I'll tell you why. Have you ever had mincemeat pie? Well, I grew up on it. Yeah, I know it sounds terrible. But the mincemeat pie that my grandmother grew up on was minced meat. All right? We're not going to mince any words with you.
That's right.
I can tell you that right now.
Right.
But the mincemeat pie that I grew up on was made out of different things like pecans and raisins to imitate mincemeat. And you know, if you know me at all, you know that I like anything sweet.
Amen.
That's why I love my wife. Thought I'd get that in there. Everybody comfortable?
Amen.
All right. I'm going to take you up to the natural food, okay?
Yes,
now, I'd give the title of the message. I've been preaching it at home, and I feel like I'm at home. You're just an extension of the family of God around the world. And I've been preaching on war.
Amen.
We are at war.
Amen.
You may not want to be at war, and you may not realize that we're at war, but we are at war. Whether we like it or not. And let me tell you something about the bride of Christ. She likes it.
Amen.
She likes it because she knows that God ordained her to do a job. And that job requires a battle.
Amen.
So
This may seem like a strange scripture to read, but I want you to turn to Psalms 27. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Doesn't that seem like a strange scripture to... And you all know me. I'm learning gadgets, but I'm not that good at them, okay? But I'll get the hang of it. You just give me a minute. I'll get the hang of it. I'm going to do my best to stay in line with the thoughts that God has given me. Psalms 27. All right. Better find it myself. Got it right here. How many knows where this scripture is found in the Message?
Rapture.
The rapture. Seems like an odd scripture for me when I first listened to the Message rapture many years ago. I said, I wonder why he's reading that scripture. Why ain't he reading Thessalonians? Or why ain't he reading 1 Corinthians 15? What is this? Why not Revelations 4, 1?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Psalms 27. Whether he knew it or not, God knew something. You ready?
Amen.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
Amen.
All right? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
Amen.
When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. All right? We're at war, you know. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear, though war, see, should rise against me. In this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Let's pray. Father, now, Father, many years later, it's been revealed to me, Father, and to your children, why this portion of Scripture, Father, makes perfect sense. Makes perfect sense to me, Father, for the oncoming rapture that we are anticipating, Lord. Because we're finding out in these scriptures that there is a hiding place, but it does not produce fear. It produces confidence. And we know that the enemy is not going to relent. He's not going to relinquish. He's not going to back up, Lord. We even know so much about the enemy that he thought he had you when you showed up down there in hell. But you showed up there for a different reason, Father. He didn't have you. You wanted them keys back. And you got them. Now, Lord, I pray tonight that you'd give us at least one of those keys, which is faith. To believe every word, Lord.
Yes.
We know, Father, that without believing every word, we'll never have the token.
Nope.
We'll never be able to enter into this pavilion, Father, because the token is required.
Amen.
Help us each and every one, Father, I pray. Bless your children and their efforts here, Father, for standing firm. Those that are on the stream or the hookup, Lord, bless them, Father. Help them, I pray, because our desire, Father, is not to be seen or heard, but it's to present your word, Father, in such a way where it'll turn on the light. Because there is a man who can turn on the light, Father. We're thankful for him. We're thankful for you. Let it be for your honor and your glory, Father, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I'm so sorry for keeping you up. But see, I didn't even realize when I was first penciling this down and getting these thoughts. And I've been preaching at home on the token, and I've taken it to the place where Brother Mike presented it to last night as well as I've ever heard it presented. And that is, it's one thing to see the signs, wonders, and miracles. It's one thing to know the acts of God. But it's another thing to have a personal relationship with God. And today, the token is the life of God. And we realize that the blood that was applied back there in the days of the Exodus was a sign. The token did have a meaning. But it was a representative meaning.
Amen.
You understand that? That blood that was applied to the doorposts and lintel of every home that, that had a revelation to apply it. It was a sign that a life had been given.
Amen.
That's really what it meant.
Yeah.
That blood there was a sign that a life had been given up.
Yeah, right.
And what that blood represented was the life in so much that it was the carrier of that life.
Amen.
See?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Now, I got to thinking about carrier. And I could preach on aircraft carriers.
Yeah.
But brothers and sisters, do you realize that the day you and I live in, as Brother Mike said last night so eloquently, is a dispensational change. Something is happening. In order for us to make the rapture, there's going to have to be a change in the way we think. The change in the way we walk and the way we act and so forth. And I realize something right away, that the devil is on the ropes. We're in a fight, we're in a war, he's on the ropes. But he is not going to give up. All right? I remember when I was a boy, and by the way, you don't know this, but my middle name is Clay. And he's the potter. But I wasn't named after a pot. I was named after Cassius Clay. My father was a boxer. And that was, some of the young folks don't know who that is. Muhammad Ali. He changed his name.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So there is a name change.
That's right.
Huh? People do it all the time down here on earth.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
But a lot of people don't want to accept the fact that we're going to have to change.
Yeah, yeah.
Something's got to happen.
Amen.
Now, the reason why the devil's on the ropes is because he thinks that we're dopes. That was the tactic of Muhammad Ali. He was the fastest, most powerful, quickest boxer of his day.
Yes. Right.
But he was also the most intelligent.
Yes. Right.
And he beat most of his opponents before he ever got in the ring with them through psychology.
Yeah. Right.
But we don't serve a God of psychology.
No, we
serve a God of his word.
Amen. Yes.
And we need to learn how to take God at his word in such a way where we are indefensible. I think that the prophet of God called us an invincible army. Is that right? And I believe that's what we represent today. We are in a battle. Some of you right now are battling with, would you tell that guy to get off of that platform? I've heard enough. Well, I mean, we're all different. I'm not impugning you or demeaning me. What I'm saying is human nature. He's always looking for the easy way out.
Oh, yeah.
But that's not the God we serve.
No, amen.
There is a way out.
Amen.
And that way out is through God's word.
Amen.
And God's word is declared, as we're going to find out, that whether we like it or not, we're in a war.
Yeah. Amen.
All right?
Amen.
And the reason that the devil is so adamant about keeping us away from our responsibilities and duties is because he's had it. Once you and I come to the revelation that we are what God is going to use to defeat the enemy at the last battle, which, by the way, is the greatest battle ever fought. Now, the word war, can I give it to you? A war is the entire conflict. So from the beginning to the end, where did this war start? Revelations 12 tells us that Michael and his angels fought, and Lucifer and his angels. And Lucifer and his angels couldn't prevail over Michael and his angels in heaven. So God gave them a way of escape. Cast them down here to earth.
Right.
And the war's been going on here ever since.
Amen. Right.
All right?
Amen.
We all know that.
Amen.
Okay? So a war, the word war represents the entire conflict. So think about this, the younger people maybe. World War I.
Yeah. Right.
There was many battles. There was all kinds of nations and ideas and generals and soldiers and weaponry and so forth. But the Bible tells you and me that there ain't a weapon formed.
No. Amen.
Not one weapon formed.
No. Amen.
That can prevail against us.
No.
Right? But God has given us the most powerful weapon there is, and that's His Word.
Amen.
Now, Brother Brenham, in one place, I've got it here, calls it an atomic bomb.
Amen.
That's how powerful the sharp two-edged sword of Hebrews 4:12 is. It's got atomic power in it. And what atomic power represents to you and me is the ability to change molecular structure. Huh? Like Brother Jewel, I love Brother Jewel. I wouldn't know you if it wasn't for Brother Jewel. Right? He's as good a man to me as he's ever been. I told him at the breakfast table a couple of days, look, Brother Jewel, if the Lord doesn't permit for you to get back to your former self, you have already won the battle. Already. Now, I'm not taking it away from the Lord. He can be restored. See, you and I, this battle that we're in is a battle such as this. Well, he's old. He's done his work. He's had these health problems. And I'm using everybody as an example now. We got Brother Barry Edlin down here in Augusta, Georgia, and he's 84 and he's lived a long life. And a lot of times, confession's good for the soul. I'm telling you that I would look at that picture and I'd say, well, he's lived a good life. He's served the Lord. He's suffering. So it's time perhaps for him to go to be with the Lord, right? Okay, so but there's nothing wrong with that, but it's sort of the easy way out.
Yeah, right. Come on now. Right.
Why can't we believe when people are in those situations or conditions that God is more than willing and able to be able to bring them back to whatever condition He wants them to be in and be satisfied with that. But we also serve a God in the book of Judges chapter 7 who said, Gideon, I want you to go fight a battle for me. And here's the deal. There's going to be so many of you. And Israel's had so much success that the people are going to begin to think it's them and not me. Talking about the Lord now. So he told Gideon, if you read it, just let me just go over it for a second. He said, I want you to go to battle. And the Bible tells us there were 32,000 people ready to go to battle. It uses the word people. So that could be men, women, and children. You know, over in Israel, you got to go. You've got to go in the military, whether you like it or not, because they need to defend themselves at all and every cost. Right? Now, they're just a type. We understand it's a natural type. How many understands that Brother Branham said all Scripture, listen careful, all Scripture and all prophecy is compound.
Yes, sure.
Those are the words of the prophet, and I believe them.
Amen.
Compound.
Yes.
That means one thing, and of course, Brother Branham would give us the example of, I've called my son out of Egypt.
Right.
You understand, he used Moses, and then he used Christ. Yes. Well, we're in a third Exodus.
Amen. Sure we are. Amen.
All right, don't discount the last one now.
Amen.
Okay? And I'm going to raise my hand, and I'm going to tell you that I have fulfilled. Now, the word compound means two or more. You and I have fulfilled at least the compoundness of that scripture by being called out of Egypt. Egypt to you and I is the world we were born in. The condition we were born in, we have been called out. Right? Right. I believe you believe that.
Yes, amen.
But let me get into the meat of the fight. The devil knows he only has so much time.
That's right.
So he had special special elite fighting forces that he's been training since the beginning of his time. And they are called the 200,000 horsemen from the river Euphrates. They was led out in the natural sense on Israel. But in the spiritual sense, they was led out on the bride. Now you'd say the church. But what them 200,000 horsemen are able to do is separate out the church from the bride right away. Because the church turns tail and runs. But the bride of Christ will stand. She don't understand, but she'll stand. No matter what the cost. Now the God we serve wants to make sure that there is just the exact amount of people left behind that are going to have the intestinal fortitude to take him at his word and realize that we're on the threshold of the rapture, but we're at war.
Yes.
Now I see why Brother Branham read that scripture. Because God does have a safe house for us. There's a safe place. Tomorrow I'm going to preach on God's infirmary. Oh, he's got one. Don't you remember the prophet of God saying, wouldn't you have liked to look in Moses' bag to see what Moses had in there? Oh, yeah. You didn't know this, but Abraham carried one too. Yeah, his bag was full of faith. And that's all you need. But it's got to be the revelation, the faith of Jesus Christ. It can't be any other faith. If you mix your own intelligence, if you mix your own reason, if you mix your own conscience, if you mix anything of yourself in there, it's polluted and it will fail. Say, well, where are you going with this, Brother Chris? We are in a battle. Now, I'll keep reading, but let me just preach. The situation with you and I, as we look at things like the greatest battle ever fought. So remember now, a battle is a conflict inside the war. The war is the beginning and the end of this thing. There are many conflicts and skirmishes inside the beginning and the end. All right? And we are in the greatest battle ever fought. But here's the difference between the way we think and the way God thinks. You and I, since we have come to know the Lord, or have we heeded his call... You with me? Because we found out that no man seeketh God. Love the way Brother Mike put it. God seeketh man. But see, we think God's out there in the universe seeking us. No, he's inside of the seed that he put in you and I before the foundation of the world. And the deep is in there calling. And when the deep responds, it says, here am I, Lord. Who said that? Who was that? I've often said this. In Matthew 16, when Peter made the declaration, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, in me, it would have been inside of me. If I was Peter, it would have been. Who said that? Because remember, Peter denied him a little while later. So you see, there was more to Peter than meets the eye. There was another Peter.
Amen.
There was another Peter in there, but it was not, he hadn't been converted yet. So as Brother Mike would say last night, there was a still small voice down inside that seed saying, let me out of here. I want out. This ain't the real me. Huh? The real me is a believer. What's going on? Oh, we're in a battle. We're in a fight. And the way you and I look at things, because we're in the flesh, we're creatures of time, right? You know, we have perimeters and boundaries and things that they, we bump into and that hold us up, and we stumble over and we have to climb over and we have to go under. And we're in a battle. And we think it's the greatest ever fought. But let me tell you folks something. For the bride of Christ, she is victorious.
Amen.
Over her old nature, she becomes the overcomer.
Amen.
Of Revelations 3:21.
Amen.
She's now in condition to fight.
Right.
Oh, bro, I've been fighting all along. But you're fighting yourself.
That's right.
And you're your own worst enemy.
Right.
See, as long as the devil has got you and me occupied with battling within ourselves, we can't be a soldier in the army that's going to take it to the
Amen.
Devil at the
right.
end.
Amen.
We're busy fighting ourselves.
Yeah. Right.
We're busy fighting with one another.
Yeah.
But the Bible declares this is not a battle against flesh and blood. As a matter of fact, the Bible confirms that. Paul telling us that flesh and blood cannot inherit. So here we are, preoccupied, spending what little time we have here on earth, fighting something that is not going to inherit. We're in a different kind of a battle. How do we become victorious over the enemy that we call ourselves? It's real simple. Love Brother Mike again, God in simplicity. It's so simple that we're too busy and we overlook it. You know, we want to Google it. Now we want to go on the internet. We want to find out what is so-and-so. It's people, why did you stay off the internet?
Yeah.
Do you think it's doing you a bit of good? Oh, brother, I get a good deal on stuff.
Yeah.
That's not what you use it for.
Yeah. Right.
Busy looking and occupying and presuming and assuming and... Okay? And I'm not preaching against you. Don't go, oh, Brother Chris said we can't use... I didn't say that.
No.
I said you're in a battle.
Yeah. Amen.
You're in a war.
Amen.
Right.
So you got to be careful about the weapons that have been formed.
Yes, that's right.
Huh? No weapon has been formed.
That's right.
But you know as well as I do, your mother said, don't you run with those scissors.
Yeah.
Huh? You could fall and stumble. You could stumble.
Yep.
Oh, we're getting into the cripple now.
Yeah.
You could stumble.
Come on.
That's right. And accidentally impale yourself.
Right.
You with me? A lot of people think Saul committed suicide. He did not commit suicide. Huh? Brothers and sisters, we're in the greatest battle ever fought. But the greatest battle ever fought is taking it to the devil. It's so simple. You want to overcome? All you've got to do is believe the word of God, which says, I paid the price. Jesus Christ said, I paid the price for you.
Amen.
My blood is sufficient.
Amen.
My grace is sufficient.
Amen.
That's what gave Paul strength.
Absolutely.
Think about
Amen.
It.
Sure.
Paul struggled, you know, with the battle inside of him. What was it? Well, he persecuted, as we heard again. So that's why there was... Brother Mike was led of the Holy Spirit as far as I'm concerned, because I had my notes already, and I said, that's it, that's confirmation, Lord. I don't need any more, just stick with the notes.
Amen. Right.
Stick with the thoughts that God give you.
Yeah. Right.
Because we're in a fight.
Amen.
But it's not against flesh and blood.
Nope.
And what do we find ourselves fighting so often? Flesh and blood. It's not even going to inherit.
No. Right.
That's what the scripture says.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
War is the conflict, the entire conflict. By definition, war, listen now, is a state of hostility, conflict, or antagonism.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Do you want me to break that down for you? You got any hostility? How about conflict?
Right.
Oh, well, watch the third one, antagonism.
Yeah.
I'll just read this out of the dictionary.
Yeah.
War. See, this is the entire conflict. War from the beginning to the end.
Right.
We're going to find out in our Bibles before this is over that the bride of Christ is victorious.
Yeah.
I just don't want to go there yet.
Yeah.
Also, it is a struggle, or, watch now, oh man, when I was reading this, Brother Aaron, I said, this is it. War is also a struggle or competition. I didn't make this up. The dictionary said it. All right? Between opposing forces or for a particular end. So let me read it to you the way that I put it down out of the dictionary. War is a struggle for a particular end. War is also competition between opposing forces for a particular end.
Amen.
Okay. We're not going to end.
No.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Brother Samuel is just on the other side.
Amen.
He's not. It's not over.
Amen.
The prophet of God told us all of our loved ones that have gone on before us is just taking a nap.
Yes. All right. Amen.
We're going to see him, listen now, in the morning. Oh, tomorrow morning, see? We're boxing ourselves in. In the adoption series, Brother Branham says, God is not a creature of time. He does not look the way you and I look. So what I'm proposing to you this afternoon, brothers and sisters, is let's change the way we see. Let's see, we're creatures of time. So we're on the inside of this thing looking out. You know, we spend trillions of dollars and we send telescopes out there, and you know what they're looking for? God. They're looking for the beginning. They're looking for other civilizations, other earths, other life sustainable. Brothers and sisters, we could have saved them. As a matter of fact, if I asked for a show of hands of who would like to divvy up the amount of money that they just spent on the super telescope, and give it to us who could give them the answer. They're looking for the God we serve. Einstein was one of the few people, Brother Branham said, in that sphere, in that realm, that admitted this has all got to have happened because of an infinite being. Of course, he didn't say Jehovah God, but he recognized that somewhere out there is the center.
Amen.
That center is centered right in your heart, if he's living there at all. And the only way he can live there is to have him had himself in there before time began, so there is no end. That fulfills Revelations 10 for you and I. Time shall be no more. Oh, the clock is still going to be moving. The calendar is still going to be in the wall. But for the bride, she's found the center of the universe. And for her, time means nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now, can we look from that perspective? Let's stop looking from the inside out. And let's move outside the perimeter, going beyond the camp. And let's focus down on how God sees it. Because brothers and sisters, that's what God is expecting out of you and me. I believe Brother Mike again, and I love referring to him because it just so dovetails. He talked about, he used a phrase, I'm paraphrasing, like the greatest event outside of Calvary. And I said, Brother Mike, I put the word down yesterday in my notes before I ever come to church. We are co-responsible. God has made you and me co-responsible for the other half of Calvary. Now, we're not giving our lives for the sin of the world, but what we are doing is we are taking the claim.
Come on, brother. Amen.
He paid the price, but he never claimed, Brother Branham told us in the seal book. You and I have been given the co-responsibility. Where did I get that from, you think? Marriage and divorce. Brother Branham said before the fall, Eve was co-equal with Adam, which was a type.
Amen.
It was a type. Absolutely. God wants you and I now to begin to look at his word from a different perspective. We're not fighting flesh and blood, so why would we want to use flesh and blood to oh, well, he said this and he said that. What we need to do is put on the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Now, the mind of Christ was a special mind because Christ never bypassed his theophany. You see, he knew. He might not have declared it all the time, as you and I were talking, Brother Wade, about men that have come and gone, and Brother Branham mingling with men. How about Jesus Christ? Judas Iscariot, same table. He didn't kick him out of church. He didn't give him the boot. You know how come? Because Judas was sanctified. So he had no premise to put him out. Yet he knew the son of perdition. Yeah. Look how sharp the devil is.
Sure.
He climbs up into the realms of sanctification so much so that he uses the same law that's going to condemn him according to the scripture. If you live by the law, you're going to die by the law. And the devil uses the same law that's going to condemn him to try to bring you and I under condemnation.
Right.
But we're still in the greatest battle ever fought.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And he ain't going to let up.
No.
I remember reading from this pulpit one time a quote where Brother Branham said, he's going to be kicking and screaming while we toss him into the bottomless pit.
Amen.
Amen.
He's still going to be preaching his gospel.
Amen. Yeah.
We're not fighting flesh and blood.
No.
God has called you and I to the highest authority.
Absolutely.
And that is to break the mold and break the hold that the devil has on the bride of Christ. Not the bride of Christ the way you and I think, but the church the way she thinks.
Right.
And that is to gain back the position of co-equal.
Yes, absolutely.
Having the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Is to believe it's not robbery.
Right. Right. Amen.
To be equal with God.
Amen.
Now, the difference between the bride of Christ and Lucifer is he doesn't want to be equal with God. He wants to be above God.
Right.
He wants to sit in the house of God.
Right.
He wants everybody to worship him as he is God. What do you think it's called Satan's Eden for?
Yes.
What do you think it's called the God of this evil age for?
Right.
Brothers and sisters, you may not realize it. Each and every one of us in this room, the devil is afraid of you.
Yeah.
That's why as long as he can keep you and I fighting within ourselves, he's got time. But I'm here to declare to you, he's out of time.
Yeah. Amen.
The bride of Jesus Christ with the eternal word of God as her weapon.
Yes.
That weapon is so powerful.
Amen.
That weapon is so powerful. I got to read it to you. It's Hebrews 4:12. Yes, everybody knows these scriptures, but listen to what the word of God is quick. What's quick? Life-giving. It brings back to the life. Who was singing Paul and Silas? Brings back to the life to the ones that's dead. Now, I sing there's a man in here, so he fed 4,000 with just 7 loaves of bread. That's the God we serve. That fulfills the scripture where Jesus said, don't worry about where your next meal's coming from. Stop it.
Yep.
We're so concerned.
Come on,
we're focusing so much on the world, the cosmos, how much money we got, how much we can make, our ambitions, our education, our scholarships. There's nothing wrong with those things as long as they're kept in perspective, but God should be number one.
Amen.
Always
Amen.
Number one.
Yes.
And who's number two? Not you. You're number three.
Yep. Brother.
Prophet said your family.
Yep.
Right.
Family's number two.
Yep.
And let me tell you something, folks. God keeps his word.
Yeah, he does.
Amen.
He is number one, and he knows it. He said, there's only going to be one God, and there ain't going to be no other gods before me. And if you are my family, you are number two. And in God's way of, see, you and I are putting numbers on it, but God is really telling you and I, come on up.
Yeah, amen.
Sit right next to me.
Amen.
Come on, little queen.
Yeah. Amen.
Come on up and sit right next to me.
Come on, brother. Amen.
Yeah. And if you'd like, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll let you take it to the enemy. Because God's God.
Yeah.
He's already won.
Yeah.
He is the victory.
Glory. Amen.
But he told us faith is our victory.
Yes, sir.
Right. And that's the only way we're ever going to beat the enemy.
Amen.
Is by faith.
Amen.
We heard it last night again.
Yep.
Oh, you should have seen my notebook, Brother Wayne. Listen now. Faith is the substance.
Yep.
It defeated hope.
Yes, it did.
Right.
Right. Man.
Yes.
See, faith is the substance.
Man.
Those things that are hoped for are fine, as Brother Mike said, until they get to a point
right.
where hope also relies on the element of reason.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Right.
I hope it happens.
Think about it. Yep.
I hope it happens.
Yep.
I hope so.
Yep.
Brother Bradham told us this is not a hope-so religion.
No, it's not.
This is a religion full of faith.
Amen.
Is the evidence.
Right.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Faith is the substance.
Yes.
Faith is the evidence that what you don't see right now is waiting for you
Amen.
To bring it into existence by faith, which is what the Bible says God
Amen.
Did. He formed and framed the worlds, the universe.
Yes. Amen.
We need to get in the battle.
Yep. Yes. Amen.
I was thinking about war. I was thinking about battle. I was thinking about fighting, Brother Wade. And here's the way that you can fight the good fight and never doubt and never fear. Get in the fight. I'm speaking from a witness, Brother Donnie,
yeah.
Before I was saved.
Yeah.
Remember, my daddy was a boxer.
Yeah.
When you're in the ring and the bell rings, if you're afraid, you've lost. But what you've got to do is you've got to put your reliance and your confidence in the trainer that trained you. He's watching your enemy. He knows, and Brother Branham bring up 6 Second Smith and how he had the dream and so forth. He knows the movements, the style, the stutters, the steps, the backwards, the forward, the left and the right, the hook and the uppercut, the right cross.
Right.
The knockout punch, he knows it of the enemy.
Yeah.
So he's training you to. But he's also, listen now, it's not a matter of just defense. In that training, while you're feigning the punches, he tells you. Now, he opens himself up when he gets in this position. When he steps just like this, he's got this small opening. Give him an uppercut.
Yeah. That's right.
Amen.
Come on.
It'll knock him out.
Yeah. Come on.
He's got a glass jaw.
Yeah.
No wonder why there's a sea of glass
Amen.
In the Bible. Judgment.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, we're in the driver's seat because God has introduced the driver's seat to you and
Amen.
I.
Amen.
We are a group of the people on this planet.
Yes.
There were 32,000 people ready and willing and able to go to battle in the days of Gideon. And God said, hold it. He said, this is what I want you to do, Gideon. I want you to go down to the flock there, and I want you to make it clear to them that if there's anybody afraid, if there's anybody doubtful, if there's anybody that's weak, if there's anybody that lacks confidence, I want you to tell them they can go home.
Right.
You want me to use the word the Bible uses?
It's a return ministry. Because he said, tell them to return. Tell them to go back. And, you know, come on. Everybody has their weaknesses, and it's like, well, I got my kids, I got my job, I got my, you know, I better, I okay. God said it was okay, so I'm gonna return. That's the Bible uses it. Okay, and they returned. The Bible says. And then God said, okay, Gideon, how many you got left? I got 10,000. He said, no, 10,000 isn't gonna work here. Because still, the people of Israel are going to feel like they are responsible.
Yeah. Right.
Did you get that?
Yeah.
Not co-responsible.
No.
They're going to feel like they're responsible for the damage they do to the enemy.
Yeah.
Right. But we're not fighting flesh and blood here, brothers and sisters.
Come on.
You ain't going to do to the devil like Israel done to their enemy.
Right.
We don't have the ability to knock him out.
Yeah.
But our trainer does.
Yeah. Amen.
And that's the Holy Ghost, Brother
Amen.
Bam told
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
Yeah, that's the teacher. That's the instructor.
Amen.
Okay? And isn't it, does anybody ever found it curious in the Bible that this, the instructor is also the one who puts the seal on you?
Yeah.
Oh, it makes perfect sense to me when you're talking about training somebody. You see, the instructor takes you when you're moldable, when you can be manipulated and turned and twisted and brought around. And, oh, you're going to get, Brother Branham said in that dream, why you hit me so hard?
Yeah, right.
He said, because I'm training you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but you nearly knocked me out of the ring. Lifts me up a couple of feet off the ground, he said. He said, I'm training you for something. And Brother Bev said, I don't get it. He said, listen, Billy. He said, when you get in there, your opponent is every bit as tough as you are, and he thinks he's better than you are, and he thinks he's going to win, and he thinks you're going to lose. So the only defense you got is to be able to withstand his punches. Watch what he said, because they stop the blood.
Amen.
That's boxing. You hit a man hard enough, and it shocks his body. And it stops momentarily the blood from flowing through his body. But you've got to recover instantly. See, that's what the devil's trying to do. He's trying to stop the blood. He's trying to convince you by punching on you hard as he can that it's not worth it. That it ain't working. That what I'm trying to do is failing. But there's faith. And faith says, nope, the blood. The blood that came from the cross and the body of Jesus Christ is the most powerful. It's a sharp two-edged sword. You see, because as the blood is the carrier of the life, so is the Word of God. The Word of God carries God's life in it. It's a form of a carrier. But where the prophet of God has brought you and I to today, and the reason why we are the overcomers of all seven stages of the journey, you realize that each one of you, by living in this age, to get to the seventh stage of the journey has already overcome the six stages.
Amen.
That's why the sixth seal was opened. Because it was judgment. And in the world you and I live in, there are seven natural seals and there are seven spiritual seals. The seven natural seals pertain to Israel and the church. The seven supernatural or spiritual seals pertain to you and I. And where do we find them at? On the back of the book.
Amen.
Oh, God knows what he's doing. He knows how to train us. I want you to notice there's something about the book. The seven spiritual seals are here. Now, a seal shows both sides. So the seven that are out here are also imprinted in here. Anybody ever seen a seal from their notary public where they squeeze the paper and it shows the indentation on the paper? Flip the paper over. It shows both sides. That's an official seal. If it only shows on one side, it can be counterfeit. You can counterfeit the new notary public stamp. I can order one. Just like the one that you got. But you can't order God's seal.
Oh, amen.
Because it makes an imprint so solid.
Amen.
You know, Brother Branham says, when a man pulls that woman up against him that is going to be his wife, that she makes an imprint on him. That's the kind of seal that's represented by you and me. God had us in him before the foundation of the world, and it has made an imprint. It has made more than just an impression. It has left marks. It has left numbers. It has left words. It has left lines. It has left jots and tittles. And not one of those will pass away. Brothers and sisters, we are the champions.
Yes, we are. Amen.
If we'll be willing to submit co-responsibility to God, it's not us doing it.
Amen.
I want you to notice something about the battle that Gideon was going to partake of as the leader. 10,000 were left. Oh, well, you know, everybody's pretty comfortable with it. 10 grand, I mean, you know, 10,000. Maybe that person will go and I'll make it. Maybe that person will get injured and I won't. I'll stay in the middle of everybody. And that way everybody on the outside gets it. And God said, thought you'd say that, so I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Gideon, I want you. Now, I'm going to do the separating. The first time God told him what to say, but the second time he says, now, I'm going to do the separating, Gideon. You just follow my instructions.
Right. Yes.
Huh? And he said, now, listen, take them all down to the water hole. All 10,000 of them down to they have the 22,000 left. It's 32,000 and went down to 10,000 because 22,000 left. And 10,000 were left. And God had a number in his. Now, Gideon didn't know. Gideon did not know that number.
No.
So take them down to the watering hole. So it's a type, Brother Wade. Take them down to the water. What is the water a type of? Take them down to the spirit. Let's get. Where did Judas show his colors?
Amen.
At the watering hole. Pentecost.
Because
water is a type of the Spirit.
Right.
And he took him, they marched all down. He said, now, here's the deal. He didn't know how many. He said, you take account of those that had lapped the water like a dog and take account of those who beat. Now you and I would think the people that got down on their knees would be, oh, they're in.
Yeah. Right.
No. You ain't fighting down here. Unless you get to the war room.
Right. Amen. Yeah.
That's the infirmary, by the way.
Amen.
That little room off the side of the tent.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm teasing you for tomorrow.
Amen.
What did the angel tell Brother Branham?
Yeah.
I don't understand, Brother Branham said. That closet. He said it's scriptural.
Yeah.
Go into your closet and pray.
Absolutely.
I ain't going to tell you what the word closet means yet. It's an infirmary, though. We find that out. In the vision.
Right.
And if you're going to go to battle, you say, well, nobody's going to get injured.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the perverted birth.
Yeah. Right.
Aren't we?
Yes.
But how many people, Brother Wade, are crippled in their doctrine?
Absolutely.
Amen. How many churches are paralyzed?
Yes. Amen.
How many churches have lost one of their limbs? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And we find out that an arm, as Brother Mike said, represents power. But in the dictionary, it's a limb. What's a limb?
Yep.
Behold,
yep.
My servant the branch.
Yes, right. Amen.
Zechariah and Isaiah.
Absolutely.
And then you go over and find out that Jesus said in St. John, I'm the vine.
Yeah.
You're the limbs.
Yep, right.
You're the arms.
Right.
You're the branches.
Amen.
You're the power.
Amen.
You're the ones that I'm going to reveal
Amen.
Myself to in such a way.
Amen.
You're going to believe this report.
Yes.
And God knew it because something down on the inside
Amen.
Of you.
Oh, yeah.
Brothers and sisters, I got nothing to do with it except I am the carrier of that life. But let
Amen.
Me tell you what God has done for you and me in closing. He has made a way where the carrier and the life become one.
Amen.
Father, make them one as we are one.
Amen.
See, he's not talking about the oneness that's being preached through the churches. Oh, come on, brother. We all need to get together. I'll get together with you like Micaiah got together.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to get together around the Word of God revealed? I'm there.
Yeah, right. Amen.
But don't call me into some social services Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
Right. Unqualified, disqualified, unauthorized group of people.
Amen. Amen.
I'm busy fighting.
Amen.
And I'm not fighting flesh and blood. But listen, you take the wrong people into battle with you, you're going to find yourself stuck. Usually in the back, but stuck. Brothers and sisters, we ain't got time for that. This is the hour. We heard it last night. We are on the threshold of whipping the devil 100%. So much so that he is bound by a chain of circumstances. That's what the prophet, that's a chain of circumstance for 1,000 years so we can rest. What are we going to rest for 1,000 years for? Battle's not over. We get to go to a supper. And a battle. And a battle and a supper. Look what happened to Abraham. After the battle was over, Abraham had Melchizedek show up. And they did some communion. And then there was another little gap in there. And then they had the Lord's Supper. And guess who Melchizedek is? The pillar of fire. Huh? What does the Bible tell us? When Joshua met the captain of the host of the Lord, and by the word host is where they got the word army from. So a host is an army. And we've seen in Psalms 27, it talked about a host. There's an army. 200,000 demons. My wife and I were recently at some meetings where Brother Doug Baker did a little math. Y'all know he's a rocket scientist, so he's real sharp. Retired. And he did the math, Brother Wade, and he kind of used the numbers like Brother Branham said, if there's one in a million and there's this many million, and he got down to how many Christians there would be on the earth, and then he divided up 200,000 into, there's like 38,000 demons on each one of you. Fighting you, you know. I mean, they're after you. I don't mean they're in you. They're after you. If that math, okay, so let's say he overshot the target, Brother Wade, and let's say there's 10,000 apiece. It doesn't matter. One of them is enough. And if you got one and you kick him out, he goes and gets his friends because he's coming back to fight for his place. You know why? Because the angels that did not believe Michael's message left their first estate. And they'd like to have it back now. They went out there and wandered around and said, like the prodigal, I got a place that I used to live in. And this guy worked and he made good money and he took showers and he ate good food. And I don't like living out here in the pigsty. And his buddy said, where's that? Come on. Seven more. Come on. Let me take you and show you. But if that house is filled with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the captain of the host of the Lord, that Joshua was not intimidated. Why? Because he put all his confidence in God's word. Because God told him, Joshua, listen now. You're going to go to battle. You're going to be the greatest general, the greatest warrior I've ever had. And what I want you to do is take me at my word, Joshua. And I want you to believe me. And he already knew Joshua was going to believe him. We heard that last night because the life of God was responding back and forth. See, he said, you do it exactly the way my word says and you'll never lose. Amen. Brother Branham used it. He said, wouldn't it be nice to fight a war and not have the Red Cross? Not have the hospitals, not need the doctors and the bandages and not lose any blood or no flesh wounds, nothing. See, what carried Joshua was his confidence in God's word. He went into battle. And think about this, brothers and sisters. Let's say you're a person with one sword and you're facing 50 Philistines, 100, 200. And in your soul, The Word of God has declared you can't get injured. You're the baddest man on the battlefield because you don't have anything or anybody to be afraid of. You're not worried about who's got your back because God's got your back. You're just taking the sword and you're mowing down the enemy like Samson did with the jawbone of an ass. Think about it. That's the kind of confidence you and I are expected to place in God's word.
Amen.
And when he met the captain of the host of the Lord, he said, who? Are you for us or are you for our enemies?
Yeah.
I want you to know he didn't say, are you for us or against us? He said, are you for us or are you for our enemies? Yeah. Whose side are you on?
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Joshua, I can just imagine. And the host, the captain of the host had his drawer, saw his sword drawn.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
As soon as he spoke. You see, because the spoken word is always the original.
Yeah,
the
man.
He told Joshua who he was. And he said, Joshua, take your shoes off. For the ground you're standing on is...
Yeah.
Who said that before in the Bible?
Yeah.
The pillar of fire that was in the burning bush said that.
Amen.
Now you and I have access to the same pillar of fire, but now it's not the captain of the host of the Lord on the outside. It's the Lord himself on the inside. And when you draw his word with the faith that you should have in it, you're an invincible army. Please stand. Woo! God is good. All the time. See, that's the attitude we got to have. It's not enough to say God. It's all the time. Praise God. As the musicians come, you already know I can't sing, but I like to sing. God is good all the time. You better help me. Once we get going, I'll go with you. Good all the time. He put a song of praise in this. It's a song of victory, brothers and sisters. God is good. Yes, he is. How often? I believe it.
Darkest night, his light will shine. God is good.
Yes, he is.
God is good all the time.
Go ahead, brother. Amen. God bless you.
God is walking through the valley.
Sinner, so unworthy, still born.
your life in his hand. Job.
Amen.
Great job for us today. Thank you, Brother Chris, for yielding yourself to the Lord. Yeah, last night we were all just kind of looking at each other, and I knew that Sister Joanna and Brother Chris, they knew that what Chris had preached before, and I knew that, that he was right on the beating in the same, plowing in the same field. So we knew we were going to get a little extra of that today. So we sure appreciate it. And that's got to be God. It's not a coincidence.
Right.
That you read the same scripture and a brother that's 2,500 miles away comes and preaches for you. And he preaches the same thing you preach, but brings it a little different way, a little different angle. But it's all one word of God.
Right.
You know, I was thinking while he was preaching, this devil that he's talking about, the adversary. All right, the adversary. He is, right? God created him first, physically, created him first to be the worship angel, to do his bidding, stay in his position, but he didn't.
Right.
Bible says iniquity was found in his heart. He wanted to be above God. He didn't want to be God. He wanted to be above God. Sure, he wants to slide himself in and be like God, and then sit in the temple of God showing himself to be as God. But you know, all that he's done. You got that right? Chris says, what a waste of time. All that he's done, he never will touch something you have.
That's right.
As powerful as we think that the devil is. We say the devil this and devil that. No, he's the right-hand man of God, but he fell and he's this and he's that. And he's all over the world making people do stuff. There's one thing he can't have. That me and you have right here today if you're born again. You have eternal life. He was created and he's going to have an end. Amen? And sure, you had a time when you come down here and you were created in the womb of your mama and you came here on earth. But like Chris said, before the foundation of the world, that seed of God was up there. And as I told the church the other day, Sister Joanna, don't ever say God don't like me or God hates me or God don't love. If God ever loved you one time, he can't change his mind. He can't change his mind. If he loved you one time, if he says, I love you, Jesus said, like you said, make us one as we are one. In other words, put us all back together again. That's what we're doing. So what power does Satan have? He cannot touch your soul. If you're born again, it's something, listen, that's territory that, as Brother Ram said, I was talking to last night, Brother Ram said, he said, you know, get to a place to where Satan don't even know what to do with you. See, thinks he's got this thing all figured out. He thinks he's got this thing all figured out. He's going to come down, he's going to anoint a group of people, and they're going to do what he said. And that's what happens to probably 7.9 billion people in the world. But there's one group of people.
That's right.
Oh, he can play. He can have battles. But he can't touch your soul if you're born again. He can't even go where you're going. As I said at the funeral the other day, the death angel didn't take my daddy across. Because he passed. Jesus said, you have passed from death unto life. When you don't like something, Sister Joanna, he likes Dunkin' Donuts, but If you didn't like Dunkin' Donuts, you'd pass right by it, right?
Oh, no.
No, I know you wouldn't. But, oh, no. You need to. We'll get you some Dunkin' Donuts before you leave. But if you don't like something, what do? You pass right by it.
Yes, that's right.
That's what Jesus said. You have passed from death unto life.
That's right.
So a death angel don't come and get a Christian.
That's right.
Oh, no. 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 Michael comes and gets the Christians. He makes sure, as Brother Richard Wilson, boy, I'm telling you, I want to put that quote down. Brother Richard said, Brother Dale knew where to go when he passed. He preached himself right into that place.
Amen.
There's many people. I've always said the Pope, if he's not converted, and these jihadists that's going to get these virgins when they pass away, they have a real bad moment when they step over into another place because they're lost. They don't know where they're at. They think this is what they're going to get. They're going to get, you know, be in the, have 72 virgins, and the Pope says, well, I'm God here. I'll be God over there. No. But you and I, this is so real. Even eternity is so real on this side. So if we do have to step over on the other side, we just step right into eternity, and it's not something that we have to. That's why Paul said, death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? We have all things through Jesus Christ because we passed from death unto life. Can't kill a Christian. We can kill the devil, though, like I hope. I hope we're there where we can all get a good swift kick when we kick him into that bottomless pit. Never to see him again, but thank God we got a Heavenly Father.
Amen.
That we're going to see for an eternity.
Right.
And we'll be able to commune with him and talk with him. He's not going to be somewhere untouchable where we can't get to him.
Yeah.
He's not going to be sitting up on a hill. Maybe he is, but you're going to be right there with him if you need to be. Oh, praise God. Thank God for the Word of God that we have in this end time.
Amen.
That we can understand these things. That the question mark has been taken out of a lot of things just because God sent us a prophet.
Yes, right.
He sent us a prophet to get up to be able to see these things. And then what did he do? He called us to come up and do the same thing. He didn't leave us down here looking up. No, he said, come up a little higher. Come up. Be eaglets, he said. You're little eaglets. So guess what? We can fly too. So we can get up and we can see revelation and understand things that the world don't even understand. You ask somebody sometimes, what happens when you die? Oh, it's horrible, bad, you know, bad, bad. Well, if they knew God, it wouldn't be.
That's right.
Just a portal, Brother Brown said. What was it? A vehicle to take him from here to there.
Right.
Put him in the presence of the Lord. So thank God for Brother Chris coming and preaching for us today. We sure appreciate that. Thank you all for coming. I think the truck's out there, so let them get. I'm trying to give them a little bit of time, and they got here about 4:30. So what's going to happen now is you need to, if you want to do your kids first, you do whatever you want to do. But there'll be hamburgers, cheeseburgers, hot dogs, chili dogs, chicken sandwiches, and then all the condiments will be in here. So you'll just go out there to the food truck. I know most of you's ordered something from a food truck before. You go to place your order for you and your family. The church is paying for all of it. So you get whatever you want, whatever amount you want, but you give them your order. They'll have that order ready for you. They'll call your name, give them your name. They'll call your name. You come pick it up, bring it inside here. All the drinks are included. There's sweet tea, Coke Zero, Sprite. Water's inside the church will be provided for you, but there'll be fries, chili cheese fries, and all condiments and drinks, like I said, will be inside the church. So just if you want to take your kids out there and do it first and then come back in here, and they'll call you and just enjoy yourself, eat all you want. And fellowship, we've got the big fan. If somebody wants to sit outside, I know it's hot, but if we've got a little fan blowing, but there's enough room for everybody, I think, on the inside. Remember, tomorrow we'll have the baptismal service after the first service. We'll just be praying for our young brother that's going to the water, to that watery grave. We're gonna have a killing tomorrow.
Amen.
We hope and pray that he repents, and we'll speak on that. You got to repent. That old man's got to die.
Yeah, right.
To be renewed in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We appreciate the Lord giving us this message.
Yes.
Amen.
I was thinking the other day, I thought, what in the world would you believe if you'd not heard this message? And this message is Christ.
Amen.
You say, well, I've got Christ in my denomination. They were called Christians at Antioch because what? They acted like Christ, which is the Word. If you don't act like the Word, then you can't be called a Christian. Christian is one of the most it'll just, I mean, you just throw it out there. Everybody's a Christian. Don't worry. If you start talking to anybody about the Lord, I'll guarantee you they'll all get converted. The whole room will. In their mind.
Right.
Because they'll stop saying bad words, and they'll start talking about what the Lord's done for them. But it's like Brother Chris said, I'm the vine. You are the branches. But whatever that vine in that life of that vine has got to be in the branches.
Yeah.
And at the end of that branch, it produces fruit.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. So we've got to produce the fruit of Jesus Christ. Everything you said in the Bible, every promise in the book is what? Mine. All right? So let's bow our heads. We'll pray for the food and then just fellowship around the Word of God. Let the kids go first, maybe, or the family with kids, and place your order, and then come back in here and sit down, and we will just fellowship around the Word of the Lord, but we'll also fellowship around some natural food. Pray for Brother Chris. Tomorrow he's going to bring a load. And we're going to be here to listen to him. So we've already kind of reviewed it a little bit. And I appreciate Brother Chris and the thing he stands for, which is the message of the hour in its pure form. Not just a hope so. It's a surety. I know I'm in the right place. Because what's inside of me agrees with what's inside of him, which is inside of the Word of God. Amen. Same way with all of us. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you today, Lord, for our spiritual food burst. And Lord, I now pray that you'll bless our natural food that'll nourish our bodies, Lord. Bless the caterers out there, Mike and Gay, Lord. They're probably a little bit hot in that thing, but I pray that you'll give them, Lord, a spiritual breeze, Lord, and then a natural breeze too. Let them see Christ walk up to that place, placing an order, Father, and everything be done in order and decent and everything be done, Lord, for your honor and glory. Bless the food, Lord. I ask, Lord, that you'd give a special blessing to Brother Chris, Lord, as he's studying again for tomorrow. Thank you for bringing our brother Josh, Lord, all the way with him. And we sure appreciate him. We appreciate everybody here. We thank you, Lord, for bringing the ones back that's been in the camp, Lord, and you brought them back safe. Father, just let you be, Lord, the center of everything we do, Father. And as Brother Chris said, we've already won. We're not on a cruise ship. We're on a battleship. But we have the captain of the host that's already won the war. He's just navigating us through the battles that we have to face. But the war is already won. Father, thank you for these things. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that just saturates this building with the people, Lord. And I pray that that'll be taken out of these doors and lived, Lord. It'll be a lived life. And I pray that you'd be with the ones, Lord, that are sick, that couldn't be here, Lord. I ask you to bless them and keep them, Lord. Raise them up for your honor and glory, Lord. Brother Barry there in the hospital, Lord. Precious brother, I pray that you'd give him comfort, Father. Just bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. On holy ground, when we are standing.